Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 16 till. It's 12 after. I got to quit looking at stuff when I'm looking at the clock, don't I? I was looking at a 16 on some paperwork here. It's 12 after, folks. Don't get excited. Whatever you do, don't get excited. I'm Jim Blasingame, the guy who can't tell time. My website is www.jbsba.com. How would you have fun if you didn't listen to my show and listen to me mess up from time to time? Okay, maybe every day, maybe a little bit every day, but not too much. Jim Morrison is here. He'll straighten me out in a minute. Jim's an old friend and president of the Small Business Exporters Association, longtime member of our Brain Trust. Welcome back, Jim.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you back. Jim, there was a big thing, a very important thing happened today. If you're like me, if you're a free trader, and I know you are too, tell us what happened.
Well, early morning of yesterday.
No, it was late night before last, yeah.
Yeah, the U.S. Congress, the House of Representatives, passed the Central American Free Trade Agreement called CAFTA, also includes the Dominican Republic. And in my view, that is really a good agreement for small business. And I have been telling people that, although not everybody wants to hear it. And I think that it'll be open up some very interesting opportunities for smaller companies in Central America.
Well, you know, Jim, for a lot of folks in America, CAFTA just makes them think of NAFTA.
It does.
And all they think about are all the jobs that they believe. Well, and that we know we're lost because that went somewhere else because they think it's because of NAFTA, but truly, what really happened was all NAFTA did was make something legal and open up borders to do something that was really going to happen anyway, and in fact, many of the jobs that went to Mexico because of NAFTA are not even in Mexico anymore. They've already gone somewhere else. And so, you know, free trade is going to happen. It's like, to me, unless politicians muck up with it, it's going to happen. And so, but a lot of people are still stinging from NAFTA, and they just have a negative attitude about CAFTA.
Well, the statistics are pretty unclear as to whether there were any or at least many jobs that went to Mexico. A lot of people believe this, but there's not.
Well, all we know, Jim, is a lot of textile jobs, for example. People who used to work in textile industry, especially in the southern part of the United States, aren't working in those textile companies anymore.
Well, part of it's productivity gains in manufacturing.
I agree.
You start finding better and better ways to do things with fewer and fewer people, and you don't have as many jobs. That has not very much to do with foreigners taking jobs, and a lot to do with U.S. getting more productive. And I think we have to get better at finding people jobs who get displaced either by productivity or by foreign trade. We're not so good at that. But it helps the overall economy, and it helps most people in our democracy, and that should be a part of at least how we think about this.
Well, the reason I pointed that out is because CAFTA only sounds like NAFTA. CAFTA is a lot different from NAFTA. And by the way, folks,
the rhyme, CAFTA not too much similarity.
CAFTA is the Central American and Dominican Republican Free Trade Agreement.
That is correct. Now, with Mexico and Canada, there were a lot of trade barriers that we had to lower to those countries to make that agreement go into effect. With the CAFTA DR countries, we don't have any barriers. We don't have any tariffs now.
But they have
99% of their goods on the ag side come in free, as do 80% plus of the industrial goods. That has been true for 20 years under the Caribbean Basin Initiative. So,
but they had barriers. They had barriers to us, though, didn't they?
Yeah, that's the deal. It was a one-way street. They had to lower barriers that, in some cases, were four times as high as ours. plus non-tariff barriers that we don't have that they did.
So basically, the playing field was unlevel against us, and that's what have to level that. But as I say, because of prior experience, because for a lot of working folks, NAFTA is a bad thing, was a bad thing to them. CAFTA got branded, got sort of tarred by that similar type of name and similar sounding name, and a lot of people just have a problem with the idea of a trade agreement, and it's in some ways it's understandable, but Jim, as you know, in the 21st century, we've got to trade with people all over the world, don't we?
Let me just mention one statistic, and I think you've heard me use it before. 96% of the world's consumers live outside the United States.
Say that again.
96% of the world's consumers live outside the United States.
That I like it when you give us that stat, because it's true and it's very impressive to hear. It makes a big impact. At least it does on me. One of the things that I've been saying, for example, Jim, about China, is that we got to learn how to become partners with China. We don't need to be competitors with them. We need to be partners with them because they got 1.2 billion customers over there.
And the thing about trade is, if you do it right, everybody wins. The prosperity increases on both sides.
Right. And so what we got to do, in my opinion, is we got to open up borders and allow trade to happen across borders. And the politician's role is to make sure that the countries behave fairly.
I think that's true, and
not impose protectionist regulations and requirements.
Yes, that's right. If we agree to a set of rules, we got to make sure everybody abides by those set of rules.
Now, CAFTA, and by the way, congratulations. I know you worked hard on CAFTA. Congratulations on that. As a free trader, I believe that CAFTA is a very good thing, and it will be good for America. But give us some examples of how CAFTA could be good for small businesses in America.
Well, I'll first mention something briefly about the process, then I'll talk about some of the products that could benefit. The agreement lowers the tariffs, as I said. It brings down all of their high tariffs. We don't have high tariffs. That doesn't affect us. It eliminates non-tariff barriers, as I mentioned, like licenses and permits and all this stuff that costs 10 grand or 20 grand and makes you wait 6 months. We don't have much of that. They have a lot of it. They're going to get rid of it. It reduces customs costs because it streamlines their customs. We already have one customs union for all 50 states. Mm-hmm. It makes it possible, for example, to sell to all the region at once, which would have been impossible before this.
Right.
It means you only have one sales channel down there instead of six.
Stand by, Jim. Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break and come back with some more information about CAFTA and how it benefits America's small businesses. Right after these messages, 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I don't care where it goes.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a good visit with our good friend, Jim Morrison, the president of Small Business Exporters Association. Jim, give us your website, please.
www.sbea.org.
And I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to check that out. And this is all part of the education that I've been encouraging you to get over the last several years for you to get with regard to importing and exporting, and this is one stop in your education, and I encourage you to go there and check out Jim's website and support his organization, because Jim, you know, the thing that I keep telling my audience is that we are in a global competitive marketplace, and it's not a question of whether we have global competitors. It's a question of whether we're competing globally. Because there are people who are trying to take our business or our customers from us from all over the world. And if we don't get savvy enough, if we can't become savvy enough to recognize that and to deal with that, then basically I think that's a pathway to extinction.
The best defense is a good offense.
No question about it.
Every time I hear somebody complain about imports, I always say, well, what are you exporting?
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes don't know how to answer that question, but that's the reality. You're going to have to go get other people's markets.
Well, exactly. And, you know, small businesses are doing exporting all the time right now on eBay without even thinking about it.
That's right.
And when we think about the countries to the south of us, it's just a natural thing to trade with them. It should be easier than going across the ocean.
Well, and, one of the things that I was constantly telling people during this discussion about whether to adopt the CAFTA agreement is look at the statistics. The small business share of U.S. exports going down there is one of the highest in the world.
Huh.
Small, they like our small businesses.
Right.
They already deal with our small business.
Have I told you the story about the Tennessee company that makes salsa?
I don't remember that one.
There's a company. I got this from the U.S. Commercial Services. In fact, I've interviewed the business that did this. There's a Tennessee company that makes salsa. And guess where they sell salsa? In supermarkets in Mexico. A Tennessee
amazing.
Company making salsa and selling it in supermarkets in Mexico.
That's amazing.
Isn't that a great story?
Yeah.
Now, if they can do that, we can do anything, can't we?
That's right, we can.
And, you were talking about the process, Jim. Give us a little bit more and then talk to us about some examples.
The thing that is important about the agreement is that it lowers operational costs down there. It lowers the transaction costs. It lowers the opportunity costs. It makes it easier for you to find customers, and it makes it easier for you to sell them once you find those customers because a lot of these costs go down. I mentioned some before the break. The transportation costs are going down because they're improving their ports and their rails and their roads. E-commerce is being enhanced because they've put in a lot of protections for that in the agreement, which, of course, means that you can level the playing field with the big companies.
Isn't CAFTA going to also help stabilize some of those governments and therefore make our transactions and our trips down there safer?
I think so. I mean, that's a little bit off the small business point, but absolutely. These are fragile democracies. They were all enmeshed in civil wars 20 years ago. And they want to change from exporting their people to exporting goods, and I can't blame them. And they can't have a stable society until that happens.
The harness mate of liberty is capitalism to me. To be able to do business in the marketplace.
People have to see the prosperity to buy into the whole idea of democracy.
Yeah.
And we got to help people down there see that prosperity.
Give us some examples of how small businesses will benefit directly.
Okay.
For example,
the process of government procurement is being gradually opened up down there. But these are not rich governments. They're going to be buying things like basic roads, clinics, water treatment facilities. We have hundreds of companies in the United States who can do that. You don't have to be Bechtel or GE to sell the stuff on that. And in fact, it wouldn't be profitable for Bechtel or GE, but it would be for smaller U.S. companies.
Can I throw something in here, Jim? A lot of these companies, you know, one of the things I focus on a lot on this show is making sure that small business owners understand that we need to be partners with big companies. There are a lot of opportunities for big companies to go down and take advantage of CAFTA and to take us along with them.
Now, they wouldn't be for it if they didn't think there was something in it for them.
Absolutely. And more and more of these big companies are outsourcing a lot of their stuff. Why don't we let them find the customers and we go with them to support them? What's wrong with that?
There's a good point in your show to mention that I'm having a conference on small business sales to global supply chains in Los Angeles in November. And I hope that small companies who are interested in this subject will come to that conference.
Absolutely. Now, we've got to be partners with big companies, not just be our customers. We need to be their partners.
That's right. And they want that. They're flattening out their hierarchies, and they're working off global supply chains, and they're very much looking for good small and medium-sized businesses that they can work with.
What are some other examples?
Well, you've got consumers down there who are going to have more money in their pockets because all of these prices are going down that they're having to pay to buy the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still not rich consumers. They're going to be buying in small quantities. That is really good news for smaller companies because, again, it's easier for us as smaller companies to make those sales profitably than can bigger companies.
Right. Jim, we're going to have to wrap it up in a few seconds, but folks, I encourage you to find out more about Jim's organization, Small Business Exporters Association. Give us the website again, Jim.
www.sbea.org.
Can they join your organization there?
They can join online.
Online.
Or they can download the brochure and the due schedule, and they can mail it in or fax it in.
And they can also find out about where you may be around the country doing speaking and having seminars, right?
You bet.
Hey, Jim, thank you for being here. Thanks for the good work on CAFTA.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you next time. Jim Morrison, ladies and gentlemen, I promise he'll be back. Quick break, right back with our good buddy Jeffrey Dobkin after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Just
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.